Good morning, Vanderhoof. Yet another sermon from my home in Vienna. I pray you had a good week last week, and I pray that next week is even better. This morning we're going to get right into the Bible in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we're going to be reading just three verses, 27, 28, and 29. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs, according to the promise. Let's pray. Lord, be with us this morning. Guide us as we look into your word. Help us to be able to set aside what's going on in our life right now and just simply focus and listen to your still small voice as it speaks to each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ, according to these verses, as well as the proclamation of Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations, will be made up of people from all over the world, regardless of the color of a person's skin or the language they speak. The message of Jesus Christ and the message from his church should be Jesus Christ is for all. Last Monday was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Martin Luther, like any other man, was not perfect. There are those who speak pretty harshly of some aspects of his life. But I can say that I look to much of what he did during his adult life with some admiration. From what I've read, he took the approach that all men were created equal, just as the Declaration of Independence of the United States informs. He recognized quite easily that the black man was being mistreated in many ways in this country, and he was taking steps to change that. Now, whether you agree or disagree with his approach, you cannot argue with his view that a person should not be considered less valuable in the eyes of the law based on the color of their skin. I was astonished to read in a book I read recently titled Pastoral Care with Step Families, written by Lauren Townsend. And in this book speaks of things that was happening in the last century. It speaks of research concluding that African Americans were deficient in many ways, research of intelligence, even up into the mid-1900s, that led social scientists to assert that black, Mexican-American, and other cultural minorities were genetically inferior and even uneducatable. I read this information from this book, and it challenged me. The United States Constitution itself stated that an African American was only worth 3/5 of a white man when it came to representation in the House of Representatives. Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States. Now you might say this is ancient history and has nothing to do with us today. Now I do wish that was true. But there are many in our country today who still consider those who do not look like them, who do not look the same in the mirror as they do, as if they were less of value. There's no room in the heart of a Christian to think this way. I ask, how could anyone who understands the love of God carry this view in their heart? John had this view, basically, that to say that those who do not carry the love of God for fellow Christian brothers cannot carry the love of God in them. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, he says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has not seen, who he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now this is not just talking, this is not talking about a sibling in a family. This is talking about loving people of other nations. Loving others who would willingly accept to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That everyone of all colors and of all nations, Jesus Christ is open to. And John here saying, if you don't have love for those who are different than you, then you don't have the love of God within you. We all bleed the same. I was taught in Sunday school that Jesus loves the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. I once talked to a man who was part of an organization that held that races should be kept separate, at least within his organization, he felt. And I asked him, how could he continue to be a part of an organization that separates a person by the collar of their skin as a Christian? And he offered, well, if you only understood the reason, you would agree. He wouldn't give me the reason, and I can tell you I wouldn't accept it regardless of what it was, but I found it interesting that his view was he needed to keep it a secret. I'm proud to say that I have brothers and sisters of Christ from all over the world. I don't even know them by name, but I can attest to this reality because the Bible tells me it's true. Galatians chapter 3 again, verse 27, the verses that we opened up with. For as many of you as were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So first here he says, if you've been baptized in Christ, you have put on Christ. Now this is not referring to the water baptism that a person should do after they step forward and state their faith in Jesus Christ. Water baptism is simply an outward showing that you've chosen to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One step of faith that should be followed by many more. But this is not what Paul is referring to. John the Baptist spoke to the people of his day of a baptism that would be different than the water baptism that he led them to. Mark chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You see, the baptism of John was a physical washing that was meant to mimic a spiritual washing, the sense of cleansing of our sins, making ourselves righteous before God. The spiritual washing is what Jesus brings to all who call upon him by faith. He spoke about it as being born from above, something only God can do. That God does and works through individuals as they accept him by faith. John chapter 3, verse 3 says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is necessary for us to be born again and understand this rebirth happens when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God begins to be a part of who we are. He washes over us. Paul here uses the term put on Christ, this sense that he's washing over us, that he's become a part of all aspects of who we are. He whispers into our ears, helping to guide us and direct us to make good and right and honorable decisions. also whispers in your ear when you aren't where you ought to be doing, or you're not doing what you ought to be doing. That's the Holy Spirit of God working within your life, helping to push you towards being more and more like the Son of God. And all of those who were born from above, Paul here in Galatians tells us that they all are one. They all are one. Jews and Greeks were words implying all races. And while the New Testament does not acknowledge, or excuse me, does acknowledge slavery here, speaking directly of slaves and free men, it does not suggest that those who were slaves were seen in the eyes of God as less important. Just the opposite. In the eyes of God, he's saying that we're all the same, just as valuable, regardless of where you are in life, regardless of your status, regardless of whether you live in the poorhouse or you live in the White House. God does not consider you as more or less important, and neither should fellow Christians. If you mistreat anyone or think less of them because they're different than you, then understand that you're putting yourself in opposition of God and His holy word. I found the word sojourner or foreigner, both basically meaning the same, someone who's different than you, someone from another nationality, or you could even say someone from another family, someone who is unknown to you. So this word foreigner or sojourner, I found it at least 28 times in the Bible, speaking of the necessity of treating people who are not like us in an honorable way, caring for them as if they were the widows and orphans among our own people. God's word continually calls His people to avoid mistreating them, to avoid treating them as less valuable. I want to jump around to a few places where I found this. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns, shall come and eat and be filled, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands that you do. You want to find blessings, then care for those who are different than you in your communities, in your towns, in your country. Deuteronomy 27:19, cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who perverts justice, not only to the fatherless and the widow amongst you, but also to the sojourner, the foreigner that may come to your country, to your communities. Jeremiah 7:5, 6 and 7 says, For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, and the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. If you will do all these things, if you will serve me, not go after other gods, not oppress the foreigners among you, the fatherless or the widow, then I will let you dwell in this place, and I will be with you. Jeremiah speaks of the judgment of God raining down upon those who claim to follow Him, but mistreat those who among them who were different. Foreigners. One more reference where God commands His people to love the foreigners and reminds them that they too once were foreigners. Deuteronomy 10, verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. He reminds them, you know, just as you would have wanted to be treated well while you were while you were a foreigner in Egypt, so too should you attempt to treat well those who are foreigners among you, those who are of other nations, those who look different than you, those who are of a different culture. Love them. Each who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, understand, are part of Abraham's offspring. The promises of God through faith were given to the offspring of Abraham. The New Testament makes it clear that this includes any who respond in faith to the Jewish rabbi, who is much more than that, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the Savior of all who call upon his name. Romans 4:16 says, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Adherent to the law, here in these words of Paul, is speaking of Jews. And then he says also, and this includes people of other races. Those of you, many of you, probably all of you who are listening to this message are of a different race than who the promises were originally given to, that is, of the Jews. Can you see that we are foreigners to them, as they were foreigners to Egypt, as so many others around us, we might suggest, are foreigners? Because we don't know them, because they're different than us. Aren't you glad that God does not choose to love one and only race? His call is for all races, and his people come from them all. And his people of all races must avoid thinking less of one another. Yes, there are murderers and rapists of other nations, just as there are in the United States of America. But thanks be to God, there will also be followers of Jesus Christ as well from other nations. And I might add, regardless of which nation these people come from, the invitation is for all, regardless of their sins, to repent and to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And all who do that become my brother and sister in Christ. And those who have not yet made that decision, understand, are people that I should seek, we all should seek, to convert them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether Mexican or African, Chinese or Russian, the call of God is equal to all. The call of God's people is to love all. They are worthy of receiving our love, the love of God that should be pouring forth from a follower of Jesus Christ. I wonder sometimes, those who do not love, and basically that's what John is saying, if you do not love others, if you're not having love for those of other nations, I question whether the love of God is truly within you. The color of a person or skin or the language he speaks does not limit his value before God, and it should not limit their value to God's people. I'd like to share a few words from I Have a Dream, a speech that Martin Luther gave at the Lincoln Memorial in 1963. I say to you today, my friends, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creeds. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. And when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we'll be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, we'll be able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." Whether you agree with what all he did or how he did it, it's hard to disagree with what he says here in this speech and his view concerning how we should treat one another. And how that aligns not only with the American ideal, at least the way it's written in the Constitution, but also God's view. If all men are created equal, then that should include men of all colors, shapes and sizes, languages. We are of a freedom that transcends physical lands and the color of men's skin when it comes to the kingdom of God. Jesus had a dream that one day will be brought to fruition. People of all nations will gather under one name and love each other as one family. Let's work towards making this true in our lives today. I call upon all who love the Lord Jesus Christ to choose to seek to love people of all nations and to desire to invite and receive them as possible brothers and sisters of Christ. Let's pray. Father, guide us. Lord, help each of us. Help each of us to truly live a life as caring and loving towards others who are different than us. Help us to lean upon and trust in that love you've given us and allow it to, we pray that you will help us to allow it to spill out of us upon others. Lord, we live in a country that's in turmoil. We live in a country that's dealing with a pandemic. We ask you to give us, as fellow Christians, the wisdom to make right decisions that's caring and loving towards one another. Help us to make decisions that would honor you. Lord, be with our leaders, our governmental leaders that are making these decisions, Father. Guide them to do right, so that you may get us through this. Most of all, Lord, I ask you to guide each of us to grow in our faith. We thank you and we praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, and I hope and pray you have a wonderful week.